Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SRF Limited Q4 FY18 post results conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ritesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all on behalf of Ambit Capital. Thanks for joining us on SRF Limited's Q4 and FY18 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Anoop Joshi, President and CFO, SRF Limited, Mr. Rahul Jain, Senior Vice President, Treasury and Corporate Controller, SRF, on the call. I would hand over to Ms. Mithika Dhawan, Head of Corporate Communications at SRF, to initiate proceedings for the SRF conference call. Thanks. Over to you, Mithika.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on SRF Limited's Quarter 4 and FY2018 Results Conference Call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President, CFO and Company Secretary, Mr. Anoop Joshi, following which we will open the forum for an interactive question and answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Joshi to make his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to all the participants to SRF Limited's fourth quarter and FY18 results call. I am thankful to all of you for joining us today to participate in our quarterly results call. I will initiate the call by briefly taking you through the quarter's key operational highlights, following which we will be happy to have a detailed Q&A session. We have delivered a stable performance for the quarter and year under review, keeping in mind the dynamic domestic and global macroeconomic environment. All our businesses have performed well and in Q4 FY18 reported a higher EBIT as compared to Q4 FY17. Overall, our EBIT recorded a healthy growth of 38% when compared to CPLY and around 8% when compared to Q3 of FY18. However, the company reported a marginal decrease in both profit before tax and profit after tax due to a significant increase in depreciation and interest costs. High depreciation is attributed to major capitalizations that were done during FY18 and more so in Q3 of FY18. As a result, our interest capitalization witnessed a decrease and led to a higher interest cost being charged to profit and loss account. Further, as US dollar INR remained volatile, the loss on exchange currency fluctuation equalization to the interest also impacted our interest cost. In addition, as communicated by us on earlier calls, the effective tax rate witnessed an increase as certain weighted deductions were withdrawn and change in cess by 1% in the Union Budget 2018, which has increased our deferred tax liability by almost 5 crore. While effective tax rate witnessed a significant increase, the same was set off by earlier year tax adjustments and the refunds which were claimed. Coming to our segmental performance, the chemicals and polymer segment delivered better performance with healthy results from fluorochemicals. In the fluorochemical business, we have witnessed strong volumes and enhanced realizations. The domestic air conditioning market has delivered robust growth in FY18 with an increasing shift towards HFC refrigerants, where we are a dominant market player. So we continue to grow our market share across all product categories and regions. In addition, passenger vehicle sales recorded growth of around 8% in FY18, further aiding volume growth. During the quarter, we successfully filed the drug master file for Dimers HFC 134A Pharma Gas and customer audits have started. In addition, we continue to focus on exports for growing R134a volumes. I am also glad to share that the chloromethanes plant at Dahej, which we commissioned in December 2017, has already achieved 100% capacity in Q4 of FY18 itself. The business also filed its first product patent for a drop-in substitute for R22 refrigerant gas of HCFC. We are confident on the prospects of this segment. With our continuous focus on enhancing investments and innovation in technology, it's our endeavor to make SRF one of the very few producers in the world which is fully backward integrated. Manufacturing of all three major HFCs, that is HFC-134A, HFC-32 and HFC-125, which provide us a unique proposition of being able to manufacture all HFC blends. Marketed under the Florone brand, it gives SRF a competitive advantage and ability to cross-sell amongst customers. As we have been informing you earlier, the specialty chemical segment had a tough year. A full-fledged recovery in the agrochemical sector is taking longer than expected. We expect things to start looking up only towards the end of this calendar year. In the meanwhile, we continue to take initiatives to strengthen our capabilities in this segment so that we are one of the best positioned companies to leverage on the upcoming demand. During the year, we successfully commissioned new plants of MPP3, P33 and others. We have launched new products during the quarter, the impact of which should be witnessed in the coming years. This will strengthen our offerings and help expand portfolio for both agro and pharma products while we target new customers. During the quarter, we enhanced the funnel as we added new agro and pharma products which have diverse applications. The business focused on its manufacturing processes and utilities so as to manage costs in a more efficient manner. Contribution from agrochemical segment remains subdued on account of lower demand. We are assured of the long-term opportunities in the specialty chemicals business and have put in place a robust infrastructure to tap opportunities once the demand revives. We have currently filed 135 patents, out of which 12 have been granted. Moving on to the technical textile business, this segment witnessed higher revenues and profitability in FY18. In NTCF, we continue to improve volume and maintain market share despite tough operating environment. The cost improvement measures around realignment of certain procurement strategies yielded good results. As indicated earlier, the South African unit closed its operations in Q3 of FY18. The related settlements with the employees and creditors have now been completed. I am also glad to share that our plant in Rayong, Thailand, was awarded the Green Star Award for the third consecutive year by the government of Thailand. The award is a recognition of the sustainable efforts towards safety, protection of the environment, and care for community that SRF practices. Business is also working on certain ADD initiatives, that is anti-dumping duty initiatives, that should lead to reduction in dumping of certain products and yield improved margins. In laminated fabrics, we added new clients and delivered stable performance despite tough operating environment. In coated fabrics, SRF continues to maintain domestic market leadership of more than 50%. In belting fabrics, performance improved on account of higher volumes and increased contribution from value-added products. Our focus on delivering superior products with the help of our strong R&D DNA has delivered positive yields. Moving on to packaging film business. The segment delivered higher revenues and profitability due to a revival in BOPET margins and operationalization of BOPP and BOPET lines at domestic tariff area at Indore. I'm glad to share that the newly commissioned BOPET and BOPP film plants at DTA Indore have been fully utilized in Q4 itself. In fact, all our domestic facilities operated at optimal levels despite a challenging external environment. We continue to focus on efficient utilization of raw material and further optimize the product mix towards innovative value-added products. On the international front, despite volatile domestic market conditions in South Africa, the unit continues to increase its domestic market share. Thailand plant performed very well during the year and achieved internal targets despite facing increasing competition. BOPP margins, however, remained under pressure due to significant oversupply, and the recovery may take longer than earlier expected. We, however, continue to produce and sell fully from our BOPP facility that was recently commissioned. In January 2018, we announced the BOPET line and metallizer in Eastern Europe at an approximate cost of €58 million. To serve as an update, we would like to inform you that the said project will come up in Hungary, and the team has already commenced evaluating land and other initial requirements towards the same. I would like to reiterate here that Europe's imports of BOPET films is significant, and our existing large customer base will help us generate fast traction as a leading local supplier. With premium pricing and fiscal incentives, we believe that it makes a good case to get closer to our European customers. The overall debt levels witnessed an increase largely due to a significant capex spend during FY18. Also, our current assets witnessed an increase mainly on account of GST-related credits, which led to higher working capital borrowings. During FY19, our interest cost may witness an increase as both Indian and US interest rates follow a hardening trend. Some of our floating rate liabilities may witness higher interest payouts. Further volatility on USD INR may have an impact on exchange currency fluctuations. We follow a prudent interest management strategy and hedging strategy, which should hold us in good stead for countering the said market volatility. The effective tax rate also is likely to witness an increase as certain benefits that were available are getting phased out. In conclusion, SRF today is a global multi-business entity driven by technology and innovation across business segments, and our focus continues to build a pipeline of world-class products. In addition, we will continue to focus on further enhancing cost efficiencies across all our business segments. We will maintain financial prudence, constantly evaluate capital allocation in businesses, strive for higher profitability, and reward our shareholders from time to time. On that note, I conclude my remarks and would like to thank you all for joining us on the conference call. We would now be happy to discuss any questions, comments, or suggestions that you may have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, what will be the consolidated capex for FY19 and FY20?
Well, FY19 is something that is more or less frozen, but I won't be able to comment as far as FY20 is concerned. But FY19, it is more likely to be somewhere around 700 crores or so.
Okay. And sir, how much will be the effective tax rate in FY19?
It will be more like 28% to 29%.
For the consolidated entity?
Yes.
Okay. And
ETR is for the standalone basis only, because the international entities, there is hardly any tax, because most of them either enjoy a tax benefit or there's a brought forward losses which are available in one of the units.
Okay. And sir, what was the consolidated net debt at FY18 end? Because it's not entirely clear from the format of the balance sheet, that's why.
It is more like 3,300 crores.
Consolidated net debt after backing out the cash. Okay. Okay. And sir, what will be the weighted average interest cost currently on this debt?
It is anything between 4 to 5, 4.5 to 5, somewhere like that.
5%. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Santalia from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
My question is related to puppet film business. How is the current scenario for the this business?
You mean puppet?
Yeah.
Hello, packaging film business. Your question is around packaging film business.
Yeah, yeah.
Packaging film business. You know, there are two segments. One is the puppet, and another is the BOPP. Puppet, the demand supply position is tightening, so it is in the favor of the producers. So we are seeing some, you know, increased realizations and better margins. On the BOPP side, the margins remain under pressure, and maybe a little more pressure can come in because two more lines are expected to be operational during this year.
So what is the current per kg margin in the currently as compared to last year?
Is improved by about 2%.
How much?
By about 2%.
Okay. Now, per kg, what is the margin?
Won't be able to share on a per kg basis and all, but overall there's a margin improvement on market side of over 2%.
And what is the capacity we are planning to set up in Hungary?
Hungary is more like 30,000 metric tons for Bopet.
Okay. And any metallizer film also there?
Yes, metallizer will also be there. It's both. The capacity is both for the basic film production as well as metallizer.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Mehta from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you very much for the opportunity. I just wanted to I had two questions. If you listen to the conference call, earnings call of Bayer, it has indicated that the channel and inventory in the Brazilian channel is far more clear as it was last year, and they are looking forward to a very positive year. So whereas it is not reflecting in the commentary which we have given, and plus even the trade channel, a lot of players are saying that there is huge amount of inventory still lying in the system. So can you just help us understand the dichotomy of these two things, since Bayer is by all these MNCs are our key customers on the chemical business side?
See, as I have been maintaining in my earlier calls, as far as the end customer level inventory levels are concerned, we probably don't have any access to know what is the status on that. We deal at the initial, you know, when the product is innovated or the products new products are research is done and the new molecules are introduced. So I won't be able to comment whether they are at what levels, but everybody is unanimous that I think in the second, the H2 of FY19, the things should turn around, and which is what we are also looking at. We had maintained even in our earlier calls that, you know, FY19 will be much better compared to FY18. Now, whether it happens in the first quarter, whether it happens in the second quarter, whether it happens in the third or the fourth, is something very difficult for us to take. We continue to work on a lot of molecules, and there have been a lot of products that we have developed, and it is only a matter of very, very short time now for those to really get reflected in our revenues and therefore the margins going forward.
Okay. So the second question is, I just wanted to understand the tailwinds which we are having in the refrigerants business. So can you just give us some understanding of, since the drivers of the good performance in this business in the last two quarters, so is it on account of certain capacity contraction which is in China, and that is why the supply and demand is tightened, or is it because of good demand which you believe would go for good increase going forward, both on the domestic side and the international side?
The first and foremost is that the substitution of R22 with the blends and R32 is happening faster than what we would have anticipated. That is first part of the story. And we being the only player who has got a complete bouquet of HFC 134A, R32, as well as all the blends and the components thereof, therefore we are gaining in that sense a larger market share of what is getting vacated by R22, and that has, you know, led to the increase in the volumes and the margins and everything.
Okay. Okay.
This is the normal growth which the business will have. Second is what is getting replaced. R22 is getting replaced by the alternatives. We have the complete bouquet of those alternatives, whereas some of our competitors, in fact, none of our competitors in India at least have those blends and those R32s available to them.
Okay. Just if I may be allowed to ask one more question. Hello. Yeah, so I just wanted to understand that while in terms of the specialty chemicals business on the fluorine side, so if you can just give us some understanding of the multipurpose plants and how would they be utilized and how you look at the payback in those investments. I appreciate the fact that the cycle is not in our favor, but on a general basis, when the board looks at it, how would the payback be determined for these investments?
For specialty chemical business, we look at an ROC of not less than 20% in anything that we decide. In fact, it should be upwards of 20%. And the specific plants are put up only when we have got a specific order for a sufficiently longer period of time. Whereas the multi-purpose plant is more about developing our capabilities and ability to showcase that we are in a position to develop the molecules that are demanded. So multi-purpose plant comes with a different mindset. It is more of an R&D and capabilities. Of course, they are supposed to be utilized for delivering the quantities which the customer wants. And they also have a flexibility of producing various kinds of molecules. So in that, the approach is a bit different, but as far as the dedicated plants are concerned, the ROC is anything upwards of 20%.
Okay. Thank you for answering my questions. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks a lot for taking my questions.
Good afternoon.
First, just on the interest expense and the depreciation, so you obviously mentioned there's some capitalization that's coming in and all that, as well as the INR impact. Now, is this a stable level to look at, this 35 crore interest expense for the quarter and 78 crores depreciation? Is this something we should use as a base to, trend off in FY19?
We are a capex intense company, so there are many projects which are still underway, and therefore they will eventually get capitalized. So the depreciation and interest will only increase going forward. But the intensity may not be as high as it is, because last year we capitalized two packaging lines, we capitalized the CMS plant for refrigerant gas, and quite a number of plants for the specialty chemicals. So the intensity may not be as high. But yes, going forward, since we keep on incurring capexes to build up our capabilities and capacities, the interest as well as depreciation will show a rising trend for some time.
Yeah, so just to understand, interest, 35 into 4, about 140 crores is at least that's a bare minimum number to look at for FY19. Is that correct?
Well, I guess so. Except give and take some volatility on the rates or the FX. Some little impact might be there, but largely this should be so.
Sure. And how much was the exact capex in FY18, sir, the total number? Was it 1,200 crores or so?
It was about 1,100 to 1,200 in that range.
Okay. The second thing was just on, the fluoro specialty business. Would it be possible to share the revenue for the year, for the full year that went by? We normally get it from
at the year end, of course, the total revenue of the chemical business for FY18 is more like 1,800 crores, out of which maybe about 1,000 crore is the refrigerant gas business and another 650 to specialty chemicals and a couple of others.
Yeah, because last year, FY17, from your annual report, the number was 606 crores from fluoro specialties. So I was just trying to compare with that.
Right number, it was more like something 680 or 700 crores. I don't know which number you're looking at, because there's been a little change as far as the adjustment of this GST and the excise is concerned. It was more like 700, and this year it is more like 650.
Okay. And you have two dedicated plants coming up later this year, right? So in terms of visibility, assured offtake from those plants, how do you see the revenue contribution from that for fluoro specialties?
The revenue contribution will be, for a specific plant, I may not be able to give you the number right away, but the revenue plan for the next year for the specialty chemical segment as such is going to be significantly higher from what compared to FY18. So what is about 600-650 is more likely to be at least 40-50% higher than that.
Okay, understand. Last question and I'll just get back in queue. Just on the refrigerant gases business, you mentioned R22 you're seeing strongness, but what about 134A and some of the other products? Have those been, and are prices there still going up, and is that also a factor in the improved performance of the overall segment, chemical segment?
I think all the segments have grown. As I said, R22 is growing because of our exports have increased a bit because of the China challenges and so on. At the local level also, R22, what we produce, we sell completely. 134A, R32, blends are shown as significantly increased in terms of quantity as well as realization. And R32, and so has R32. And we being the only player in India, have been able to take advantage of that. So all the subsets of HFC have really grown quite significantly.
Would it be possible to give a sense for how much the prices are up, sir, on a YOY basis? On average, just a rough.
I don't think I can share that nitty-gritty. You can see that the way the volumes and the realization and the EBIT margins have increased, that will give a sense of where we are.
Okay, and just to clarify, you're already pretty much at full utilization in the refrigerant gases, right? So FY19, there will not be any further much scope for volume growth, but FY20, probably your new capacities come in?
That's right. Except, maybe a little bit of this, at least 134A, because there's still some gap in what we produce and what we can produce. At least that additional volume will surely come in. And the additional volume will also come in from the CMS, which got capitalized only in December. And we, of course, utilize it fully in the first quarter. But obviously, in the FY19, you will see the growth also coming from that segment.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in queue. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Saraf from Credent Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, sir, I just wanted to understand that we are selling fluorine-based chemicals for agrochemicals and pharma, right? So in this sense, would we be replacing chlorine as a substitute, as a chemical, or do we have an entirely new market for fluorine itself?
No, which will be, what we will replace?
Are we replacing chlorine-based molecules, or is fluorine opening up a new market for itself in this agrochemical and pharma?
They fall in both categories. Some might replace because one understands that the fluorine has a better ability to get retained wherever in the maybe the agro space as well as the pharmaceuticals, and also some of them have found a new application altogether.
All right, sir. And I just wanted to understand that if I'm not wrong, fluorine forms around 25% of the entire value chain in agrochemicals, right? So if we are supplying a chemical today, fluorine would be 25% of the market, and the rest would be by the other chemicals, right? If I'm getting these numbers right.
I don't know what is the source of that number. I won't be able to comment on that.
All right, sir. And just another thing on this, sir. When we supply a chemical, it's for an innovator molecule, right? It's not for a generic molecule as such. So, hello?
Yes?
Yeah, it's for an innovator molecule, right? And once the drug goes off, or once the molecule goes off patent, so what would our strategy be in that sense?
No, we don't patent that molecule. We only supply to that manufacturer of agro or the pharma some molecule.
Yeah,
we don't patent the product.
But whatever we supply for is it a patented product or is it a generic product?
That's what I said, that we don't patent any product. We don't patent any
product. All right. That would be. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Poddar from ICICI Prudential. Please go ahead.
Hello. So just one question on your technical textile business. Sequentially, the EBIT numbers look a bit soft. Any specific reason for that? I mean, the margins sequentially are not that great. Was there inventory gains in the last quarter or something like that?
Yeah, the technical textile business EBIT and the margins are largely dependent or significantly impacted the way caprolactam moves up and down. So inventory gains do play their role. Having said that, maybe that in some of the quarters there was some one-off items like, you know, we had some insurance issues earlier, we had some earlier litigation getting settled. So some of them might have been, but overall the volumes as well as margins have only improved in this quarter.
So sequentially you would have had a good volume growth, fair to, I mean, understand that part?
Not really. Compared to third quarter and fourth quarter, there won't be much in terms of volume, because we have already adjusted our capacity, whatever we produce, we sell. So it is only, you know, some bit related to the caprolactam prices movement, which obviously with the lag, we are able to transfer or, you know, ship to our customers. So that
So last quarter, there were one-offs in the quarter 3 F18. Was this one-off in terms of what you just talked about, insurance or something in the technical textile business?
Yes, a little bit, yes.
Understood. And so just to take forward the question about specialty chemicals, directionally, fair to understand that, you know, we are on an upward trend, as in the industry is on an upward trend. So, you know, whatever spec chem revenues we would have in quarter 4 F18, come quarter 1 F19, or say quarter 2 F19, directionally or sequentially, we would see an improving trend, although the step jump would happen in quarter 3, quarter 4. Is that what you're saying, or you're saying that even directionally, it's quarter 3 and quarter 4 of F19 where we'll see the growth?
See, in this business, it is very difficult to say, you know, what it will be on a quarter-to-quarter basis. What I can only say is, as far as FY19 is concerned, sequentially compared to FY18, you will see a significant upside.
Understood. And so just one small bookkeeping question. That's the last question from my side. What was your net debt you talked about? 3,300 crores?
I think that information was not correct. This is 2,900. Sorry. The gross debt is maybe 3,300 or so, but the net debt is 2,800. It will be anything within 2,800 to 2,900.
Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, just one clarification first. The tax rate for the consolidated entity, what you said, 28% for FY19, is that right?
He said for the current year, it is about 28. Going forward, I can't say as of now, but that is going to remain the trend going forward. I mean, last year, if you see, it was about 23%.
Correct.
It has gone up to 28% in this.
Okay, fine. And regards the refrigerant gas business, particularly R134A, what is the volume for the full year? Can you share that?
It's about 11,000 tons. The same as last year. More or less same, and little higher than last year.
Okay. So, I think last year it was something like 9,500 or so.
So, it is 11,000.
Now it is 11,000. Okay. Okay, fine. And, sir, can you split, sir, the refrigerant gas revenue? How much would be export and how much domestic?
Almost 40% will be export and 60% will be domestic.
And this 40% export share would have seen a significant growth compared to last year? Or if you can share, what could be the growth?
Yes, it has. Based on this split, you can work out what it was last year. I won't have the numbers just before me.
Okay. Okay. And now, sir, on the this thing, on the Dymel, so now we are progressing on the registration of our own product manufactured from here, and customer audit, all that is happening. So on that front, what is the kind of a growth that you have witnessed since the acquisition point, sir?
Growth will come because our own cost of production is going to be lower compared to the transfer pricing at which we are buying from Dymel. So it is going to be a margin expansion rather than the volume expansion significantly.
Yeah, that is fine. But any growth that you have seen over the last 2 years, sir, after acquiring?
Not significant in terms of volume.
Okay, fine. Just last one question. On the CapEx front, sir, see around some 1,300 odd crores kind of CapEx that we have done over last one, means during FY18, and over last 2-3 years, in fact, 2,200 odd crores kind of CapEx we have done. And the incremental revenue over last 3 years, if you see, it is less than 1x kind of run rate that to what we have been seeing. So over next 2 year period, what is the kind of asset turn one should be looking at? Seeing your expansion, continuing expansion and all that, so what sort of asset turn one should really look at?
See, as I said, specialty chemical has been facing all the challenges in the last year, and a good amount of capex has been spent on specialty chemical as well. So for it to really FY19 is significant increases, but I won't be able to give any asset turn numbers as of now, because as we have been maintaining always, the specialty chemical related capexes do not go on the basis of what the asset turn is going to be. It is more a bottom line driven and margin, and in that sense creating capabilities. Many of the capexes go only for creation of the capabilities and increasing the margin and our own going forward ability to develop a complex product. So all those may be parameters. So asset turn probably in this segment is not that relevant, but in other products, of course, the asset turn, like you know, pistol film or refrigerant gas business, there of course asset turn is more like 1.5 times, one to 1.5 times by the time the facility.
Okay, sir. So just last on the capex front, what is the kind of capex for the full year that you are anticipating? It should be somewhere like 900 to 1000 odd crores. Is that right, sir?
I mentioned it's more like 600 to 700 crores in FY19.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. Now chloromethane plant got commissioned. So can you just give us what was the contribution of a chlorinated chemicals in terms of the revenue in this particular year?
See, that breakup is not available. Chloromethane generate, different kind of products. Some of them are sold in the market. Some of them are utilized in-house. Some of them are utilized by our specialty chemicals. So, you know, that way to give a margin for the chloromethane, that's it.
No, I'm asking revenue, sir.
Revenue. I think this is the first quarter. That also separately, but as I said, you know, we use good amount of that internally, so that does not generate anything as revenue as such.
Okay, perfect. And secondly, what was the revenue contribution for engineering plastic? It was somewhat same. It was like 358 crores last year.
It was not even 300. It's more like 250 or so.
250 or so. Okay. Okay. And secondly, sir, this 400 crore capex, which is going to come in this year, what would be the breakup broadly?
These are all by and large the ongoing capexes. You know, I didn't mention 400 crores. I don't know where did you get that number from. We said 600 to 700.
700, sir. I'm saying 700. I'm saying 700 crores capex. So broader breakup of the capex, if you can.
These are largely ongoing capexes which are underway on the specialty chemical side, a couple of them on the refrigerant side, the 356 crore that we had announced for R-125 and the Mexican acquisition of assets. This is as of now, and a couple, maybe just about 100 crores, and then the Bopet film plant that we have announced in Hungary. These are the capexes largely, and some bit the smaller ones, which may be there. And this is the cash outgo we are talking about in FY19. This entirely may not get spent in FY19. All the projects may not be up and running. But the cash outgo on these, broadly these 3-4 projects which I mentioned, is going to be over 600 to 700.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, Anup sir, a few quarters back we were talking about there's a decent visibility as far as specialty chemical for third and fourth quarter of this year. So just wanted to understand what exactly happened, where we went wrong.
Actually, I won't call we went wrong. We have always maintained that, some positivity is turning around. That is what I always maintained in our course of discussion with our with our customers and the people for whom we work and develop, some positivity is turning around. And, you know, but obviously, you know, certain things, as you know, large amount of mergers and acquisition and various things have been happening at the agro majors across the world, certain things may have taken a little more time than what one would have anticipated. And as I maintain and mentioned in my opening this thing also, FY19 is definitely going to be much better. Exact timing in any business, it is very difficult to comprehend whether it is going to be in first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. But FY19, we are confident that, you know, we will have a much better play on the specialty chemical side.
Sure, sir. Sure, sir. I stand corrected in using that term. So, sir, is it like your customers are calling out, you know, that they will likely to pick up or they will see a strong traction? Your communication suggesting that with your customers?
That's right. That is one part. And second is a couple of dedicated plants where we have a very strong, so to say, take and pay or a committed ability to deliver and therefore generate revenues are going to come on stream.
Yes.
So these two things, both the customers are all talking to lift the material. Customers are also now have agreed with us to lift certainly some material out of the dedicated plants which are going to get operational, or some of them have already become operational. That gives us the confidence that the FY19 is going to be much better compared to FY18.
Right, sir. And sir, in one of the previous questions you were answering, I missed out a bit, so just wanted a little clarification. I heard you mentioned something like 40% to 50% revenue uptick in specialty chemical, or what was the point you exactly mentioning at that point?
Revenue.
So FY19, there is a potential for 40% to 50% revenue uptick in specialty chemical space, which is currently at around 600 to 650 crores. That's what we are talking about.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Sivamalar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yep. Hi, sir. It's Rajit Sivamalar. Firstly, on the commentary front, if there is a disconnect, please stand corrected. On the one side, we are saying that there would be 40% to 50% increase in the spec chem. We have a confidence in that, and at the same time, we are saying that the recovery is taking a bit longer than expected. So, is that 40% to 50% growth is not a recovery?
This appears to be all rear-ended. What I'm only saying is, in the first and the second quarter, the way we were anticipating, probably the turnaround may not happen in the first or second quarter. Maybe even by the this is going to be more by the end of this calendar year 18. So what we are hopeful is that FY19 by the time we close, because this is not a quarter-to-quarter business in any case.
Exactly.
And therefore the contract that we have, the indication that we have, we are confident that while we close the FY19, so the growth is not going to get spread evenly across the four quarters. That is the communication that I wanted to do. So, as far as what we were anticipating to begin maybe from the first quarter of FY19 is getting shifted to maybe third quarter or so.
I hope that answers your outlook would have changed had it been recovered for the first quarter, then the growth rate would have been much higher.
Yes?
Yeah, hello. Yes, so my question was that had it been recovered from the 1Q, then the growth rate would have been much higher. Is that what you are telling us? The 40% to 50%.
Obviously, if the first quarter onwards the growth started, the cumulative growth could have been much more. But one does not know. Maybe in third quarter you don't get the same order, or the quantity doesn't get sold. Overall, FY19, 40% to 50% revenue growth is what we have anticipated. All I can say is this. We can't say on which quarter it will happen. It may happen in third quarter. It may also happen in fourth quarter alone, everything, rear-ended, rear-loaded.
And so secondly, on the margin front, since FY18 was predominantly driven by refrigerants, now FY19, if what you are expecting comes through, it should be driven mainly by the spec chem segments. So is there a possibility that we will again start looking at the EBIT margins which we used to deliver probably a couple of years back?
I won't be able to comment on the margin part as of now, because see, there are a lot of capexes which have happened, and obviously they will bring in with them a lot of fixed expenses also. So how the margins will pan out, only a little later we'll be able to maybe look at and understand. But obviously the revenue rises, the margins will surely improve because the fixed cost to that extent is spread over the larger volumes.
So from the qualitatively,
I comment whether we will return to those same very volumes, those 30-40% margins are probably you know something that may not that was on a very small base, and that was in the early stage of our specialty chemical business.
But qualitatively, it is the product mix would be getting superior even if we compare historically.
Product mix is something which has to come mainly from the market and our own capability. Yes, so I mean that's what our endeavor is, that get into the pharma more complex. But you know, having said that, if you want to have the superior margin, more complex products, they take that much more time also to fructify and you know get translated in terms of revenue, and which also at times becomes a challenge. But yes, I mean the pharma portion of our business, on which we have had some successes in terms of new geographies, new customers, and so on, is something which is going to give better margins compared to agro, principally.
And so, in the recently commissioned MPP plant, how has been the traction over there, as per the expectation?
As I mentioned, you know, MPP plant is more to do with our ability to do work on more and more molecules. Because as I said, you know, we have filed as many as 135 patents. Obviously, you need to work and you need the facility. The earlier multipurpose plants were not giving us that capability to do some of the more complex molecules and the more complex and more stages of the pharma and so on and so forth. So that is what it has given. And going forward, we believe that some of the products, as many as about 5-6 products, we would have really, you know, reached the technical specification. They are going to get materialized very soon in terms of revenue. So multipurpose plant as well directly is too early to say that what kind of revenue has it generated or will generate.
And so sequentially, we have seen an improvement in the polyfilm standalone, the domestic business. Any particular reason?
We have been maintaining that, you know, the BOPET, the demand-supply situation is turning favorable, and therefore it's a growing business in India. It was about 10 to 12%, and we being one of the their lowest cost producer is all set to take advantage of that.
Because I believe a quarter revenue of even BOPP would have come in, and that the margin should have been a bit lower considering depreciation.
And that's true, but all in all, BOPP is facing some challenges, as I said, and may continue to face challenges. But this was only one quarter event, therefore it hasn't affected that much the overall improvement in the margins. Maybe FY19, the BOPP situation, how it plays out, may impact overall margins. But the BOPP component in our overall portfolio is not that significant, at least in India. And in South Africa, BOPP continues to do okay, I would say, that it is not that negative as it is in India. Therefore, it hasn't seen the improvement in the BOPET, has not completely been taken over by the erosion in BOPP to that extent, and therefore the overall margin has still grown. Because the last base of BOPET gives us the additional margin.
And sir, one last thing, on the technical textile subsidiary, if you do just CMNSS, we have seen an improvement in the EBIT of textile business. Is it to do with that closing down of the loss-making?
Yes, that is also one of the contributors. You're right.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Baheti from KTD. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So I just have one question. Basically, we're hearing that... Hello?
Can't hear you, please. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we are hearing that many of the first world economies are talking of replacing HFC with HFO. In fact, even Honeywell has already stopped its production of HFCs and is talking of moving to HFOs, right? Now, since we are dominant, like we are very dominant when it comes to HFCs, and we are aggressively expanding our capacity in fact, every variant of HSP. So what are your comments regarding the scenario of shift from HSP to HFO? In fact, we even started a pilot plant of, I think, HFO 1234YF 2 years back. So what's the update on that?
HFO, we have already set up a pilot plant. We are testing our technology and the parameters and so on. We will be ready whenever there is a commercial case for us to set up an HFO plant. So the technologically, we are there. Now, whether there's a need or there's a justification at this point of time for us to set up an HFO, because HFC for us a long way to go as far as India is concerned, which is a growing market, and it will continue to grow in Saudi Arabia. It will continue to grow at least until 2020 in U.S., and Europe, and the replacement market will still continue to remain even after that. So HFC growth, what we are producing, we are able to sell, and that's why we are doubling all our capacities, and we are absolutely confident that we'll sell that the double capacity in the next foreseeable future. For it, the time for the HFO to really take over or eat into the HFC is a little far off as of now.
Okay, but so we won't really start our commercial production of HFO because we don't see the need in the Indian markets as of now, or even in South Saudi Arabia.
No, there is no Indian market for HFO.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritika Garg from Equitas. Please go ahead.
So could you give us an outlook on the caprolactam prices?
That's a good one. I mean, see, it is so highly volatile. We have not been able to figure out what are the drivers for caprolactam prices and, you know, how do they move. From 1700 to 2200, 2400. I mean, it's...
Okay. So currently, so what are they?
Currently, 2000? 1800 or so, 1800,
1900. And so we contract for them quarterly or?
No, caprolactam. See, for us, the pricing formula with our customer is that whatever is the caprolactam price, international caprolactam price, plus our margin, that is maintained. So we are able to pass on our raw material cost of caprolactam. And
but
it is all dollars.
Passed on with price. The lag?
Yes, obviously there has to be some lag because all these contracts happen for a period and caprolactam prices can move on a day-to-day basis. So
okay.
There will always be a lag. This will
okay. And so could you give me the long-term sustainable EBIT margins for all the three businesses?
Very difficult because these are all three different businesses. Will have the different drivers and you...
Yeah, so separately for each of the three?
I'm saying that is, the numbers are before you, those margins, we said the refrigerant margin are going to improve, specialty chem is going to improve, packaging film, we said on BOPET side is going to be better, but BOPT may see a challenge. The technical textiles, except this timing difference, probably the margin will remain more or less same, except some operational efficiencies that we keep on creating at times, which adds a percent or there to our margin.
All right, so thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kadam from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Sir, what was our ending capex for FY18 total?
FY18 was 1,200 crores.
And sir, I want your inputs on this, like as we are building our product pipeline for the pharma segment, how the things are shaping up and how the competition from the global player in this thing and how the global pharma companies are looking at like a player like us from India in this space.
Pharma, we have, always our contribution of the pharma in our revenues has been more like 10, 12, 13% and it has increased over a period of time. But having said that, pharma is something that is a difficult and a complex specialty chemical area. And in order to be able to have more of that in our kitty, we are in the process of setting up a cGMP facility at our Dahej plant. And therefore, that will only... make our capabilities better, and going forward, we should be able to attempt more complex and more difficult pharma molecules as well.
So then how this piece works? So is that the case to showcase our capabilities in this thing? So we have to in advance set up a capacity and invite foreign players and have a look at it? Or is it based on some visibility on order, then we take a decision with discussion with the client and then set up a capacity?
R&D projects have to happen by way of a collaboration. You know, it's not that I set up a facility and then I go and sell myself. These are, you know, based on our performance in the agro side, R&D effort and our capabilities and so on, the people approach and we approach them that we could do various molecules on the pharma side. And there's a joint development which happens along with those people. I mean, it's not that I set up a facility and then I go. But what happens is in pharma, since we are only doing N-1, N-2, it's not the active ingredients, and which does not actually require a cGMP facility. But if you have a cGMP facility, that becomes an additional point of sale. That, you know, we also have a cGMP facility, and therefore we are able to provide even a superior product in that extent, which may be compliant for their FDA angles, though the cGMP facility for these intermediates actually is not required to be approved by FDA.
Okay. And if at all we plan to do it, it will happen in FY20, the capex for this particular piece?
No, it is already happening. It's not that it's not that happening. I'm saying it is going to improve because of this additional facility that we will have.
Okay. That's all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jigar Jani from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. You were saying that 40 to 50% growth in the specialty chemical business, how much of that factors in the take or pay contracts from your dedicated facility, and how much you are factoring in the industry growth turnaround from the calendar year end?
The split between the two may not be available. I won't be able to give that split. The overall growth is that we are indicating. This includes both. And it's some of the points we said which are going to be operational. They are going to bring in additional revenue. Some of the earlier plants or the earlier products are going to get lifted. So all of that will come together.
Okay, so but it would it be safe to assume that majority of this portion is from guaranteed offtake or dedicated plants?
Yes, good amount of that will be like that.
Okay. And sir, regarding our refrigerant business, in Q2 we had highlighted that we were planning a R32 capex of 7,000 to 8,000 tons. When is it likely to come online?
Everything will be, I think, by 2020. We have said that we will be doubling our capacity. There are different stages. You know, something is in the hay, something is in 2019, if I recall correctly. The entire capacity will be doubled by that time.
So FY20, we should be able to have double capacity for the refrigerant
right.
business.
Yes.
Okay.
HFC.
And what is our current HFC capacity?
More like 25,000 also. 25,000.
Okay. Okay, sir. And, sir, I think a couple of quarters back, I think there was an anti-dumping duty by U.S. on blends. So, have you seen an improved traction in our export business due to that?
Due to that or general export, is definitely the export volumes have increased for R32 as well as blends. It will be difficult for me to say whether that was the driver or, you know, the general growth in the demand and various other challenges which China has been facing, all of them cumulatively would have probably led. To pinpoint whether the ADD was the main reason, difficult to say.
But
yes, there's been good growth on all the components.
Right, but are we expecting some major contracts due to this, or it would be normal export growth that would be ongoing in the U.S.?
We keep talking to the big chains there in U.S. who might pick up some of the products on a long-term basis. So the growth might come in from some additional contracts also.
Yeah, because last quarter we were highlighting that we had started supplying to some air conditioning and auto majors also in the export market. So would it be largely U.S. focused?
It is across the board. I mean, it is also U.S., Japan, Thailand, various other countries also, U.S. also.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you very much. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Gupta. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. One clarification on the chemical side. You said that your specialty chemical revenues declined from 700 crores to 640 crores or so. So it means that 10% decline in chemicals business and specialty chemicals business. And then when I see the overall chemicals business, also the sales has grown by about 6%, but your EBIT has declined by 10% on a YY basis. So just wanted to get a sense on the refrigerant side. What has really happened on the refrigerant side? What kind of growth has happened on the overall portfolio? And is it more realization-led or is it more volume-led?
Both. I mean, realization-led also and volume. I said that, you know, the CMS side is the volume which has got added. And obviously, the 134A also was sold a little more than that. Blend volumes increased quite significantly. R32 volume increased quite significantly. So it is a combination of both, robust volume growth as well as change in the realization.
So net end, you are saying that effectively, probably you would have had in that case a mid-teen sort of a growth in refrigerant portfolio, which you are saying is a function of both volume as well as the realization improvement.
That's right.
And sir, going forward, do you see any major impact on your refrigerant realizations because of the Chinese and China-US trade war, or maybe because China itself is taking some capacity shutdowns, etc.?
Difficult to say, yeah. You know, what US and China, how will they actually behave and where does it take?
Right.
But probably as far as we are concerned, this is a growing market everywhere in US as well as in India, and we are in a unique position to be able to supply the complete bouquet, so I'm affected by these trade wars. Maybe some short time dips may be there here and there. China keeps facing earlier the environment challenges and so on. But I don't see that it per se will be a big driver for either way, either increasing or decreasing the demand. I don't think it's going to be more. And this is not a product of that nature which, these kind of a trade wars really focus on.
Okay. So primarily refrigerant, the point I'm trying to get is it more going to be more volume led, or is it that you're already seeing some major pickup in the realizations, more like a 20-30% realization pickup? It's not the case, right? I mean, it's predominantly volume led for you and maybe some realization gain, but not like a 20-30% gain on realization.
I won't be able to put the number on that. But, like in India also, the faster replacement of R22 is happening. So some bit of realization gain can always happen. And with the increased customer base across the globe, in Japan and Thailand, you know, various measures, some bit of realization gain can also come in.
Got it, sir. And then on the P&L, I see a line item, unallocable and allocable expenses in the segmental side. And that has increased materially while the segmental numbers are all right, but on allocable expenses, there's almost a 200% jump on the allocable expense side. So just wanted to get a sense what's that coming in from. So unallocable expenses, yeah, go ahead, please.
This is necessitated because of the GST. You know, there is some allocation strategy which had to undergo a change because it was becoming input tax credit unfriendly if we were using the same grid for allocating some of the head office expenditure. So what has happened is we have retained almost entirely what we used to earlier allocate to some of the businesses in the unallocable section. That's why you would have seen it little on the higher side. But on an overall segmental performance may have got better because of the allocation now not continuing in the segment and being retained at the unallocable level. I don't know whether I really answered that question too.
Both technical textiles and packaging, what we understand is that there is clearly a crude angle which plays out. And, margins have been fairly healthy despite, especially in the packaging film side, you have said that BOPP there is some pricing pressure. BOPET also we have seen some lines getting added. Still, your margins have been fairly good, which to some extent some of the other industry players have shown at least in this quarter. So is there something to do with in a rising crude environment you kind of see probably slightly better margins on the packaging films? Is that the right assumption to make?
Not really. It's not about crude. See, the overall demand supply balance on the BOPET side is now becoming favorable to the producers, and that is obviously will lead to, in a competitive market, a price increase or a realization increase. And that is one part of the story. Second is that, you know, if you add another line, your overall fixed cost, because we have added the Wopet line, which is next to our SEZ, and therefore the fixed cost get spread over the larger number of, the larger quantity, that also improves your margin a little bit. So all of that cumulatively has really led to improvement in margin. And BOPP, as I said, the negative impact of BOPP as far as this FY18 is concerned has not been too significant, because it was only one quarter that we started and sold the BOPP thing. But going forward, the negativity on BOPP may be a little higher comparatively.
Got it. So on a blended basis, you're saying that BOPET probably will increase in realizations or margins to some extent, and then BOPP might play the spoiler to some extent. But on a blended basis, I think BOPET capacities are higher than BOPP in India at least. So on a net-net basis, is this the right assumption to make, that probably your packaging film profitability still has some more like to grow, at least in the near term?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. And the last one from my side, just on the specialty chemical side, clearly you have a substantial amount of capital which has been employed, and we have been consistently seeing the case wherein quarter after quarter, and not just you probably, I mean some of your other peers as well have been reporting the same. Globals are no different in that sense. We are seeing quarter after quarter of delays in this recovery. And you know, always the counter thesis is that clearly some of these Indian guys are fairly small. I mean, probably your specialty chemical revenues are hardly $100 million versus the overall global market size of at least $7-8 billion in terms of the manufactured value, even if you take patented molecules. So what's really is the issue? I mean, why there are so many delays, and why there is so much of unpredictability over last almost like 10 quarters, 11 quarters, I think we have been thinking about recovery coming soon, and it just kind of has been beyond us in some sense. So any sense that you have been able to get from your clients that what is really one should look at when to see the recovery clearly coming through?
I wish I had all the right answers for all that you are asking. I only can give you some indicators, the commodity pricing, the, you know, some of the global M&As which have been happening, and some wars at the Brazil on the currency level. All those things, I guess, would have cumulatively led to the situation that we are operating in. I won't be able to really, you know, give you an exact the reason for this happening.
As
I always been maintaining, see, we are so many steps away from what happens at the ground level in terms of the buyer of the agrochem and the producer of the agrochem. So we won't have that kind of understanding. We only have a surrogate information through our these innovators and the customers who deal with us to be able to know a little bit that they keep saying, not this quarter, next quarter, next quarter, next quarter, you know. That is the kind of communication one keeps getting, and based on which we communicate with our investor community. Now, at times, they may not be right, they may not be 100% right, and therefore that, you know, all that culminates into our being able to sell and show the revenue. We have this confidence for FY19, at least based on some of the dedicated plants and where there is a complete assurance on some quantity being left. That is why we are saying that the revenues are at least going to be significantly better in the FY19. And as again, you know, in terms of predicting which quarter, which time is difficult, that's why I maintain that FY19, the year ended FY19 should show that kind of a growth. Whether it's going to be happening in second or third or fourth quarter, I won't be able to really comment.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I hope I've been able to answer all your questions. If you have any other further questions, we would be happy to be of assistance. We hope to have your valuable support on a continued basis as we move ahead. On behalf of the management, I once again thank you for taking the time to join us on this call.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.